You know, I had my first cruise for my honeymoon years ago. I fell in love with the cruise immediately. I didn't know that they got unlimited supplies of great food. They have non-stop entertainment, great music, great shows. You get to shop, you get to watch exciting shows, you get to indulge in yourself in spa, in pool. And even if you like, you can hide in your room with the TV shows non-stop. You can just relax, sit back, and indulge. People on cruise always feel well-received and well-taken care of. This is the exhortation we bring onto a cruise ship. We tell a cruise is good or not by asking, do we feel welcomed? Does the cruise wear the best smile? Are they professional in serving us? Is the captain friendly? Do we have the best food? Do we have enough of those best food? Do we have enough great entertainment? Are my family happy? Are they well taken care of? Are we happy? Are we enjoying? Cruise ship is all about meeting our need, our comfort, our schedule, our happiness, our dream, our desire, our expectation. The world on a cruise ship revolves around us. Every time when we get off the cruise ships, there will be a period of time we are still in that mentality, the all about us mentalities. Or I call it the cruise ship mentalities. Under this cruise ship mentality, everything is about us, about our desire, about our needs, about our satisfaction, about our happiness. Of course, there will be time we need to think of our needs. It is actually good to have certain expectations. One of those times will when you have to decide if you want to stay with the church. We have expectation because we take our faith seriously. We have expectation because we really want to seek God. We really want to seek growth. We really want to encounter God deeply. It can be good for us to have some expectation to church. For example, it's just normal to say we want church to have vibrant praise for us to lift up our soul to the Lord. We want church to give good message for us to grow in God's word. We want church to have good children and youth programs so that our children can grow in faith. We want church to have good ministry for us to feel being part of this family. We want church to have good Bible classes and small group for us to have a community in faith and to grow spiritually. When you are serious about your faith, you have expectations to your church life. However, one of our weaknesses is we are forgetful. We easily forget why we are here every Sunday morning. We forget we come because we want to get to know God. We forget we come because we want to grow. We forget we come because we are serious about our faith. We forget we come because we care about our family. We let this cruise ship mentality slowly, gradually creep in. We start to think church is here to serve our need. We start to take things for granted. We think church should satisfy all of our desires. Church should give us the music we like. Church should offer the program we like. Church should give us the messages that only speak to me. Church should take care of my family's feeling. Church should take care of me and my family satisfaction. For some, church unfortunately become a cruise ship. For them, church is for their comfort. Church is for their need. Church is for their enjoyment. But is this what Jesus wanted? Jesus called his church because of a purpose. In Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16, Jesus talked about Christians, or collectively, we can say that's church role in the world. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light on a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good work and give glory to Father who is in heaven. Jesus tells us that church purpose is to be the salt and the light of the world. And the first thing I want to point out is church is for the world. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus is telling his people that we are here not because of ourselves, but for the earth, but for the world. The church is for us as best. It's only half of the story. The whole story is in Jesus' plan. Church is not only to serve a few people, but to serve the whole world, but to serve the whole humanity. The thing is, unfortunately, as a human, because of our brokenness, because of our limitation, we easily turned our focus to ourselves. One day, we start to think, as long as we are happy behind this door, this walls, on every Sunday, we will be okay. During World War II, there was a church built next to a train station. Every Sunday, a train passed by while during their worship. On the train, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews being sent to the detention camp. The Jews cry, the Jews scream on the train, but every Sunday, the church just feels so uncomfortable, but they did nothing. Every Sunday, instead of doing anything, they kept on singing the praise. They sang at the top of their voice, trying to drown the cries and the scream. They think that it will make them comfortable. They think as long as they could continue their worship, they would be fine. One day, no more trains came. But German army came to their door. That was the time they realized they were not okay at the end. Their silence actually strengthened the evil of the world. Their self-centeredness actually strengthened the evil of the world. The enemy wants the church to think that they will be fine as long as they are here, comfortable, contented, and satisfied. If the church forgets about their purpose of being for the world, the enemy may have a chance to win. And at the end, no one will be okay. So it's important for us to remember, church is here for a purpose. Church is here to make a difference in this world. Have you thought about that? We don't just come here every week to enjoy the intimate and cozy time with God. There is a bigger purpose behind all this setup, all this music, all the messages, all this ministry. Church is here for a purpose. The purpose is for the world. Church is for the world. To make the tasteless world tasteful. Our world is getting tasteless. Friendships become tasteless. Job becomes tasteless. Family life sometimes can become tasteless. Even life by itself sometimes becomes tasteless. The once exciting things now have lost its original meaning and original value. Imagine, you can have hundreds of friends on social media, but you have no real friendship. You can have a well-paid job with no meaningful career. You can have everything at home, but with no bonding between the family. You can be rich in life, but poor in soul. Tasteless is not because they become less attractive. Tasteless because its nature is distorted. Tasteless because its meaning is gone. You know, when we cook, what we do is we add salt to our food to bring out the taste. When we add salt to the food, it's not like we just add the taste of saltiness to the food, but we bring back all the taste of different fruit, from tasteless to tasteful. Because of the salt, you once again can taste the sweetness of the veggie, the creaminess of the dairy, and the smell of the meats. Because of the salt, you can taste the tastefulness of your food. And church is the salt of this tasteless world. Matthew chapter 5, 13, you are the salt of the earth. We are here to make the world tasteful again. We are here to make the world filled with this flavor, the good flavor again. And Jesus said, church, we are the salt of the earth. We carry the taste of Christ, his value, his attitude, his image. We are here on earth to bring back to the world the original meaning, the original value by God's design. We are here to demonstrate to the world how the world's supposed to be, how humanity's supposed to be, through the way we live, through the way we talk, through the way we use our money, through the way we use our time, through the way we relate. We give the world an alternative of how things can be. What we carry inside us is the essence of a Christian identity. And Jesus said, if Christians lost this, the taste of Christ, if a Christian lost their values, lost their attitude, lost their stand and way of life, they're good for nothing. Just as in verse 13 he said, salt is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Church is for the world, to bring light to the darkness in the world. Jesus said, because a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus is saying, at night, it's hard for you not to see the light of a city on a hill. People in Jesus' time, actually, they traveled by foot or by donkeys, and traveling at night, however, was risky. There could be animal attack, there could be robbers attack, and the night could be cold. It's assuring when travelers saw the light of a city. It told them protection was there. They did not need to stay in the wilderness at night. They could be safe from the wild animal and from the robbers. They could finally rest in a cozy, warm, and safe place. Light gave hope to the exhausted travelers. In verse 14, he said, again, you are the light of the world. And Jesus continued, so, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Just because light gave people hope, it didn't make sense for us to hide it. If you have light, no matter how tiny it is, you don't keep the light to yourself. Because in darkness, people need light. If you have light, you share. So no one have to sit in the darkness. So no one have to sit in despair. So no one have to sit in hopelessness. You are the light of the world. Yes, nowadays, we say, well, we don't travel long distance on feet at night anymore, right? But however, we are all travel in this life journey. And sometimes we travel in darkness. This darkness may not be physical. For some, darkness is depression. For others, darkness is a child struggling with chronic illness. For some, darkness is a battle with cancer. For some, darkness is a loved one passed away. For some, darkness is a feeling of being trapped in an addiction. Darkness can be in different forms for different people. And as a human being, we are all familiar with them. Jesus says, be the light of the world. Through your good deeds, bring hope to this brokenhearted. Through your good deeds, bring hope to those sitting in darkness. Verse 16, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It means, through your good work, show people God. I repeat it again. Through your good work, show people God. Come and give to the poor so that they know God. Come and show hospitality to others so that they know God. Come and care for those in need so that they know God. Come and love each other so that they know God. Come and serve each other so that they know God. So that people can see, can experience, can taste. God is real. God is good. This is the purpose and mission Jesus called his church into. Church is the light of the world. Church is the salt of the earth. To make this world tasteful, to bring light into darkness, to give hope to the hopeless world. Instead of a cruise ship, a pastor actually described church as God's battleship in the before. Church exists for a purpose and on a mission. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity says something about church purpose and mission. Hear what he said. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedral, clergy, mission, sermon, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. That's the wrong word. God became man for no other purpose. It's even doubtful whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. Church is God's battleship. Its purpose and mission is not to bring people more entertainment, but to bring people to God, to draw people into Christ, to transform life, making every one of us little Christ. Church is all about the mission of God. And this mission belongs to everyone in his church. It's not just a few people's business, say the pastors, the leaders, or some elite Christians. The mission is given to all Christ's followers, all the churches. C.S. Lewis makes it clear, he said, putting on Christ is not among many jobs a Christian has to do, and it is not a sort of special exercise for top class. Once you are Christians, you start to put on Christ. You are loved, that's true. You are precious, that's very right. You are the princess and prince of God, of course. But at the same time, you are God's army. An army needs to know their missions. It also needs to know their duty in a battle. And Jesus in Matthew 25 shared a story about this. Verse 14 to 15, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his properties. To one gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. So to understand the duty of God's army, we have to look at this man who is going to travel for a journey. Just like every man with this wisdom and senses, he entrusts his properties to his loyal servant according to their abilities. He wanted to make sure everything was well being taken care of before he left for this long journey. However, in Jesus' story, it seems that different servants seem to have different ways to tackle with the properties. Verse 16 to 18. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So he who had the 2 talents makes 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. 1 talent was a lot of money at that time. You could do a lot of different stuff with 1 talent of money. So from what we observe, 2 of them got very excited and passionate. They tried to earn more by investing and trading, and they earned more. However, one of them just buried the money in the ground and waited there. Yet the master soon came back and looked for the servants, and it was a time for some feedback and evaluations. In verse 20 and 21, and he who had got the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me this 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more." And his servant said to him, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, so I will send you over much. Enter into the joys of your master." Same thing happened to the one with 2 talents. The master found him good and faithful servant, and the master rewarded him with the joy of the master. How about the one received the least? You know, actually in my daily life, in reality, I'm a saver. I would like to play safe. If you let me to pick, I say I will save money in the bank instead of taking risk and investing. So for me, the servant burying the money underground seemed to have done nothing wrong. At least he didn't lose any money, right? So however, the story took a very interesting twist for me. Verse 24 to 25. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. So here you have the whole, what is yours?" But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." So the master actually took the money away from him and kicked him out. The master's expectation became clear. He expected his servants to work hard for his interest. But this story is not about investing. It's not about teaching us how we should invest our money. The story is Jesus teaching about how to live in his kingdom. Jesus tells that story because he doesn't want us to miss out the best, his best. He wants us to get the best, to be able to enjoy and share his joy, and to be able to get the reward by joining his mission. No matter how many talents you received, work hard for the Lord. Use them. Grow them. So you grow what Jesus wants to grow. Jesus is not talking about profits. He is talking about work in accordance to his heart, his purpose, his missions. Get more people for God. Let more people to be able to reach by the good news of God. Bless more lives. Inspire more people to be transformed by God. Draw more people into Christ. To do this, you don't just sit and wait. You act. Jesus cares about his missions. Therefore, he acts. So don't wait anymore. Join the missions. Take your role in this battleship. Work hard with your talents. Being a crew on a battleship is very different from a visitor being on a cruise ship. Imagine if you are this visitor or tourist on a cruise. You are able to enjoy, to relax, right? Right, of course. But no matter how exciting the show is, you have no part in it. You just sit there and watch. Even if there's a crisis, what you can do is just wait. Wait for the rescued in your master station with your life jacket. You are always on the receiving end. You can only sit and wait. But a cruise on a battleship is different. You are on the same missions. You are part of this big pictures. You are there to play a victor role. You are there. If there's a crisis, you have to act, not wait. No matter your role is to rescue, no matter it is to save, to protect, no matter it is to attack, you know you are there for a purpose. This is the pictures Jesus given to his church. Church is God's battleship. Church is for the world. Church is the salt of the earth. Church is the light of the world. And this is what Koinonia Church believes too. Koinonia Church is the battleship of God. We as a church should keep his mission and purpose in mind. We are here in Richmond for a purpose, to draw people into Christ, to transform life through the gospel. Koinonia Church is always ready for God's missions. Therefore, it's not surprising if you look around, there seems to be a lot going on every Sunday, even during the week. Let me share a little bit about our journey of Koinonia Church. Our church started in 2006. In 2006, we started with five families. In 2007, we started our first Cantonese worship here in this school, in this room, the Richmond Secondary School Multi-Purpose Room. So we kept growing. 2015, I fast forward a little bit. 2015, we started the youth worship. 2016, we have the first round of office expansion. KO, Colonial Administrative Office, started. 2017, that's why you're here. We started the English worship. And now, on an average Sunday, we have more than 500 people in total. We almost have the full house every Sunday. We have no more empty parking spot. We have an overflow parking, but even the overflow parking is overflowing. 2019, we are looking forward to a second wave of new beginning, a second Cantonese worship, and another wave of venue expansions. In the future, we will share with you more about this plan, but Koinonia Church is always growing. Growing is the norm of Koinonia. It's not because we want to become a mega church, but because we want God's good news to be able to reach more and more people. We want to reach out. We want to receive everyone that come to our church this every Sunday. We don't want to turn away anyone because of our limitation, no matter it's the space, no matter it's the facility, no matter it's the resources. It's because we are so excited to see more life getting into Christ. We are so excited to see more life being transformed. It's because we are eager to share the blessings we receive from God every day, every Sunday, every week, every month, every year. And we want to bless more people. We are ready. And how about you? Maybe you have joined us for a few months now. You came every Sunday because you found this is a good place to be on a Sunday morning. You enjoy the music. You enjoy the lighting. You enjoy the message. You enjoy the friendly people sitting around you. You found our praise uplifting. You found the message relevant. You personally encountered God here. Maybe you feel blessed to be here. That's why you keep coming every week, every month, every year. You always enjoy visiting us and be with us. If this is the case, we want to invite you to get on board to God's battleship. We invite you to consider to be his crew instead of a visitor. We invite you to play this role on his mission. Imagine, give yourself a second. The blessing you receive through us can actually pass along to more people. Imagine. The transformation you experienced can be experienced by your friend, by your classmate, by your colleague, by your families. imagined. Because you're of your participation in Koinonia, you can bless the people around you, in your neighborhood, in Richmond, and trust me, can be beyond Canada. How would that be like? Church is the salt of the earth. Church is the light of the world. It's very difficult to see how this is possible if one takes the cruise ship mentalities. It's tough to understand if we are just another visitors on the cruise ship. You only get to understand all this excitement and all this profound blessing by being part of it in different way, by becoming a crew. Come and try. And you will soon understand this is not a mission impossible. You will soon understand how God can work through you, through your very hands. To wrap up my message today, I want to share a story with you. Just on a regular Sunday, a couple came to me. They told me they invited their friend to church that Sunday. The friend was going through a crisis in life. And that was her first time ever be in the church. He was anxious. He didn't know what to expect. Then he was received by one of our servants. The servant assisted her to register her kid into Kapos and then casually chatted with her without knowing about anything about her. And the couple told me, their friend was so comforted by the servant's friendly attitude. He was calmed by her acts. He didn't expect that. And as if in the darkest time of her life, she suddenly see light. She suddenly see this hope in humanity. According to what I found out is, the friend decided to come back to church every Sunday just to find out what this God is all about. Can you imagine that? A simple act of service touched people's heart. A simple act of service brought new hope to a life in the darkness. No matter how exciting the show is, you are just there to watch if you are visitors. But when you are a cruise, you have a role in it. You can actively participate in God's mission. You can personally witness the amazing mission of God. And Jesus today is calling his servants to get on board. You can be one of them. You can be the salt of the earth. You can be the light of the world. Friends, brothers and sisters, let's join me in prayer. Lord, we give thanks. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your deliverance. Lord, thank you for the chance that we can live differently in this earth, in this life. Lord, at this moment, please may your Holy Spirit help us. Help us to clearly hear your voice, to really understand your will. Lord, may your Spirit awaken our soul. May you open our ears to hear your voice so that your church will arise and join your kingdom lead. Brother and sister, let us stand and join us.
Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. In the court of Christ, O Captain, for now the weak can say that they are strong. In the strength that God has given, with shield of faith, the banner of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, battle cries is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Come see the cross, where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Come see his soul, lie crushed beneath his feet. For the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rose away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continued till the day. Every eye and heart shall hear. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, the victory march continue till the day. Every eye and heart shall see him. O church, arise and put your armor on, reaching out to those in darkness.
Lord, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our soul, Lord. You are our power, you are our help. Lord, you are the one who made the heaven and earth. So, Lord, help us, be with us, strengthen us so that we can respond to your call, so that we can respond to your missions. We praise and we pray here in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.